Today we heard two of the most recognizable scriptures, I think. In Matthew, Jesus has just started his public ministry. He has been baptized, tempted in the desert, and has called his first disciples. Then he jumped right into his mission of forming people into the children of God. He traveled throughout Galilee, and he taught in the synagogues. He taught them the good news, the gospel. He didn't just preach. He healed people, cured every disease and every sickness among the people. If Jesus encountered it, he cured it. His fame spread quickly over all of that region, of all over Syria. People brought their sick to him. Those in pain, the demonics, the epileptics, and paralytics. These ailments, those in pain, epileptics and the paralytics, these ailments were named specifically. And these were the kind of things that you got tossed out in the street for. You got abandoned. They were such bad sinners, or their dad or family were so much sinners that they were just cast out without honor if you were in those categories. But Jesus healed them. Out of the fringes of society, he restored them as full members of the family. Jesus continued to travel, and by word and example, show that good news. And the crowds grew larger and larger, and they followed him from place to place. The crowds got so big that he went up a mountain, and he began his first teaching in the Gospel of Matthew. We call it the entirety of this teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. It's just the beginning here in chapter 5, but it's three whole chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. And this is important stuff because we get to hear 4 weeks in a row just from chapter 5. That normally that doesn't happen. And throughout this year, 12 times we will hear from the Sermon on the Mount. This is really important stuff. And it begins with what we heard today, what we call the Beatitudes. And it really makes sense that it begins this way. To be blessed in this context is honorific language. Blessed are statements ascribe honor to those unable to defend themselves as well as those who refuse to take advantage of or trespass onto the position of others. Those who are blessed are normally blessed and honored by society, but Jesus bestows real blessings, holy blessings, not given by society, but directly from God. He's bypassing that societal of what being blessed looks like and restoring back to the people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That poor, that word poor, is not about possessions. Particularly in this usage, it's about the beggar. That's real need. And for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A lot of this Sermon on the Mount has to do with end times. Matthew is really tying together the Old Testament and bringing it forward about the end times. But heaven is a word that they often substituted for the name of God. So, the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourners. That whole theme, as Matthew connects Old Testament with where he is there, was tied together the prophets. It was the prophets' mission all throughout, being able to console people from their needs. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That word meek Blessed are the gentle and the humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Righteousness in different aspects of our scriptures take on a little different context, but here it is the relationship with God's justice, first and foremost. You're in that relationship of God's justice. And then in relationship with other humans. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy, and mercy is an ultimate gift from God. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. That pure in heart was the integrity in our intentions and our actions. You have integrity in those. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. God is, of course, the ultimate peacemaker. But Jesus is our example, bringing peace to those in pain. Blessed are those who are persecuted and reviled. Claiming Jesus as your Lord, first and foremost in your life, and all that we do goes through Jesus, that's tough business, folks. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be reviled if we live into that. It goes against the rulers of the world. We do it right. There's worldly consequences. These teachings are not new. I mean, we even get this summary and the perfect summary of the prophetic teachings and on what true religion looks like and the obligation we have with God's covenant in our Micah reading. But I'll look at just that last verse in 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. At the annual meeting, it's my job to report the spiritual health. It's a hard thing to do. I can't report your individual spiritual health. I say that every year because it's part of the canons. I'm to report the spiritual health of the parishioners in the congregation. I really can't do that for you. I know I could do for some. Congregation, though, still, what is spiritual health? What does that look like? And we all enter into somewhere, but are we growing into a spiritual health in our relationship with Jesus? I can tell you some numbers. I can tell you that in 2015, our average Sunday attendance was 134. And I can tell you that in 2016, it's 145. I like that. For us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus, to give us what we need to go out and do that work, we need to be here to feed each other and to be fed by the Word and the Sacrament. When I got to looking, spiritual health, well, participation, not just attendance, but I was actually surprised by the number I'm about to tell you. I didn't think that it could be this high, really. But 110 individual people, and some participate in more ministries, but just people, participate in the ministries that make Sunday morning and Sunday evening happen. 110 of us. Now, there are many more of us that do other wonderful ministries that don't pertain to what we do here for worship. And those are just as great, just as powerful and meaningful. But the ones that I could actually have the numbers for are the ones that pertain to worship. And I'm very pleased with that. Our education opportunities. We don't have them every week. I wish we could. But when we do offer those, the attendance in those is up. I wish I'm going to try this year to keep track of how many different individuals have come to something for their adult formation. And as Barb mentioned earlier, our financial giving is up, and you'll hear a lot more about that in a little bit. Because giving a report on spiritual wellness is hard for me. I try each year to reflect on our spiritual health in light of the particular Sunday's assigned scriptures. So How are we doing? Are we being God's blessing to the poor? Are we being God's blessing to those who are mourning? Mourning right now comes in all different shapes and sizes. Are we being God's blessing through being gentle and humble in our relationships? Not just under this roof, which we need to do, but all our relationships being a blessing for God in this world. Are we being God's blessing to those who hunger and thirst for a deeper relationship with God and others? Are we being God's blessing by showing the gift of mercy? Are we being God's blessing by living our lives with integrity of word and action in relationship to the Jesus we profess? Are we being God's blessing by following the example of Jesus, the peacemaker? Are we being God's blessing by standing firm and supporting one another when the good news we believe and process go against the social norm? I mean, if we're going to profess these things, are we getting any flack? Maybe we're not trying hard enough. We're not. Because, like I said, living into our profession, living into our baptisms, really pits us against the world. All those aspects where God and the gospel should come first. It's hard sometimes when we think that things are political, but they're really right there in the gospel, and it's theological, and it's our responsibility. We squirm when we say the word political. Sometimes we squirm when we realize it's in the gospel because it's really going to put us out there, and it makes us uncomfortable. It's supposed to. We're not uncomfortable. We're not growing. Are we doing what the Lord requires of us? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. If I say yes or no to these things, then it sounds judgmental, and I don't like that. But I can challenge you. For these Beatitudes that were presented today, may we do what we can to put them in the forefront of our mind as we walk this walk called the way, as we follow Jesus. Next year, when we stand here and look at our spiritual health as a community and as individuals, we might have a little stronger answer for ourselves. Amen.